Water you turned into wine. Open the eyes of the blind. There's no one like you. None like you. Into the darkness you shine. Out of the ashes we rise. There's no one like you. None like you. Our God is greater. Our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God, into the darkness you shine. Out of the ashes we rise. There's no one like you. None like you. Our God is greater. Our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer. Awesome in power. Our God, our God is greater, our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God. And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand against? And if our God is for us, and if our... Stop. And if our God is with us, then who could stand against? Then who could stand against? Our God is greater, our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God. Our God is greater, our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power, our God. And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? Then what could stand against? And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then who could ever stand? Then what could stand again?
Amen. We have a great God this morning.
Would you be free from the burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you or evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you be free from your passion and pride? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Come for a cleansing to Calvary's tide. There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb.
Let's read together John 6:40. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest.
Come out of sadness from wherever you've been. Come brokenhearted, let rescue begin. Come find your mercy, O sinner, come near. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can heal. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal. So lay down your burdens, lay down your shame. All who are broken, lift up your face. Oh, wanderer, come home. You're not too far. So lay down your hurt, lay down your heart, come as you are. There's hope for the hopeless and all those who've strayed. Come sit at the table, come taste the grace. There's rest for the weary, rest that endures. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can cure. So lay down your burdens.
Lay down your shame.
All who are broken, your face. Oh, wanderer, come home. You're not too far. So lay down your hurt, lay down your heart, come as you are. Come as you are. Fall in his arms, come as you are. There's joy for the morning, O sinner, be still. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can heal. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can heal. So lay down your burdens, lay down your shame. All who are broken, lift up your face. Oh, wanderer, come home, you're not too far. So lay down your hurt,
lay down your heart, come as you are, come as you are, come as you are, come as you are. Amen. Thank you. Maybe sit.
Well, good morning, everyone. I saw something unusual yesterday. Can you guess what it was? It wasn't one of you, if that's what your question was. The Chiefs game, I saw these wacko people without their shirts on when it's like 27 below zero out there. And I'm like, what in the world is wrong with people? Common sense sometimes is just like gone from some people. They're probably wondering today, why was I so stupid? Because they're probably in the hospital with pneumonia, but I mean, that's called a fanatic, right? A fanatic. So what's going on this week? Anything happen that we can thank the Lord for? Matt Shrum. This is Matt Shrum, if you don't know who Matt and Kaylee are.
I accepted a new job in a different industry, and I start at the end of the month. So just prayers that that transition goes well and that it's a blessing. And I'm a little nervous but excited. So.
Is that still here?
Yeah, we're not moving anywhere. I get to continue to work here, so that's not a problem.
I hate to pray against your new job, but anyway, yeah. That's good. Anybody else?
We have been meeting on Saturday mornings. Chris is the Bible study leader through a Zoom Bible study, and we've decided, I had shared with her just a burden on my heart regarding praying for our adult children. And so I have done this Bible study before. It's really kind of just a booklet that kind of gives you an impetus or inspiration, basically, to get into the Word, grab some scriptures, and pray for your adult children. Now, can it be a neighbor child? Sure. Can it be a friend who's an adult who needs prayer? Anyone that you know of in your family right now who would benefit from this book? It just gives topics, and then it gives scripture to go along with it. And so Chris mentioned the last time we met for Zoom that she wanted to do this and incorporate it into our Saturday morning Bible study, and how we were going to what we've talked about so far is maybe one Saturday just dedicated to just praying rather than doing the full Bible study, but just doing a prayer for our adult children and anyone that you have in your family. I have four children, and boy, we spend a lot of time praying, and you know, they're hurting in a lot of different ways. They have financial needs, they have, you know, housing needs sometimes, and there's just different situations that they face. And I mean, honestly, I think just praying for one another, we're all adult children, but specifically this is geared toward praying for our adult children. So if you would like to be part of that and jump on Zoom with us, and I think we talked about maybe the first Saturday, I'm not sure. Well, we'll clarify that, but at least if you are interested in that, come and see me, and we'll get this launched off. So.
That was Pam McMurray. If you don't know Pam, I'm going to start telling you their names because some of you don't know who all these people are. This is Mary Frances, not Frances Mary, but Mary Frances. So you know it's not two people. It's the same woman. So.
I had you praying for a friend of mine in October. He might lose his leg. Well, they saved his leg. He's done off the wound back, and the wound is completely healed. So thank you for his prayers.
Anybody else? This is Dan Pullins, if you didn't know who Dan Pullins was. He hides behind this thing every Sunday.
I think that as we pray for the people around us, our church congregation, and the community as a whole, we have to realize that the world truly believes that these things that they're going against the Bible, they really believe it. I'm not going to tell you where I work. Some of you know. But they embrace these things as if it's a fundamental truth. And to me, the only fundamental truths come from the Bible. So you should be praying hard for, I'm not going to pick topics, but you should be praying hard that God is back in these institutions because they need it.
This is Verna Ansel, secretary, treasurer, all purpose.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I just wanted to ask you to pray for my husband's sister, Cheryl Ansel. She's in the hospital. It's going to be a long road if she even comes through it. She has allowed herself to get to the point that they have said there is not too much they can do for her. You need to pray for her, maybe to pray for the family. She has a sister that she lives with who is also not well, and his third sister, which is the oldest, is on her deathbed. So it's going to be a rough couple months for the family. So we would sure appreciate your prayers.
This is Alexa, not the machine, but it's really Alex.
Sometimes I act like the machine. This is sort of like a praise prayer mix. I recently, because of my health stuff, has been bothering me, but I got the opportunity to work for Stephanie, which she would want some prayer that she could get some more help. But I've noticed working with Stephanie has actually made my condition a little better, and I have, like, moments of relief, which is great, and it's fun to be around horses, so that's my praise.
Amen. This is Laura Neely and her family.
So apparently we're becoming a drama family because Matthew and David have gotten parts in Madison Plains High School's production that's going to be in March. It's called High School Musical, and they needed a pianist. So I emailed all the pianists that I know that are really good accompanists, and Carol is going to be the accompanist for the musical in March.
We've talked about getting involved in the community as Christians as well, right? So that's part of it. We're talking about that this morning, too. So anything else? You'd pray for Everett. He's getting moved. I'm not sure where or when yet. Bob Harder's getting moved to a private room, so I'm not sure about all that. But keep praying for them. A whole bunch of others. I can't think of them right now. You know when you want to think of something, you can't think of it? Well, anyway, you just think what I'm thinking, okay? And you got all these prayer requests in your mind because I can't remember them all. Yeah, I said Bob Harder. Roxanne as well. Anything else? Okay, let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning for allowing us to be here with the weather that it is, the coldness that we have, that you provide us a warm place to be, that we can worship and we can sing and we can hear your word and we can fellowship with one another. Be with our family and friends that aren't with us this morning. Lord, my wife is visiting her sister and stepmom, that you'd be with them, and all the ones who may be on vacation somewhere, or we think of Pam and Sam who are out of town as well, and those who may be homebound, those who had to work or other situations that they may be in this morning, we just pray for them. Be with us as a congregation that we may worship you and honor you and be witnesses for you wherever we go. And just be with the requests that we've mentioned and even those that we didn't mention that are out there that people are thinking about or maybe didn't say, that have personal needs that they need help with. Could be financial, spiritual, emotional. Whatever it may be with him as well, and those who are not able to be here this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you.
I'm going to have a couple different options this morning. You can have the communion like this if you want. And we're also going to have the cups, juice cups and bread in a different container if you want to do it that way like we used to do before. So you can do it either way you want. I know I've used these before, and if you peel the wrong one, you're kind of stuck trying to get the top off. So peel the top off first, and then the bottom if these are the kind to use. So as we pass these out, we'll all take these together. They're I like using illustrations that you can actually see. So I like the idea of the bread. And disciples are having a meal together, weren't they? It was the Last Supper. He told them to eat food before you come. This is not for you to have a meal. This is a representation of what's going to happen to me. So he took the bread and he broke it to show them physically what a breaking looks like, saying, "This is my body broken for you. Take and eat." And they took the bread and passed it around. We can do that, but didn't know if people wanted to do that or not. So I like taking the bread. He said, "Take and eat in remembrance of me." So let's take and eat, remembering his body was broken for us. And he took the cup. Said, "This is the cup of the new covenant. This is my blood that's shed for you." So his blood was shed for us. And as we drink the cup, it reminds us that Jesus' blood was shed for us, to wash over our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So let's take and drink, remembering that his blood was shed for us. Father, we praise you this morning for allowing us to commune with you, to pray to you, to talk to you, to know that it was because of your suffering you came as the perfect Lamb of God, as both God and man, stretched out on that cross, nailed to the cross, suffered for us and died. But that wasn't the end, that you rose again, that we may have eternal life if we accept you as our Lord and Savior. So we thank you for raising from the dead, giving us the opportunity. We look forward to our time in heaven with you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning. As I'm looking at the sunshine coming through and got up this morning to beautiful blue skies, I thought, wow, it's colder than I'll get out there. But that's the beauty of a brisk winter day. Every day is a beautiful day because God has given us this day. And he's an amazing God. And that's what I'm going to sing about this morning. You want to hear the story of how I've made it through. When life is full of trouble, pain and fear, the answer may sound simple, though everything else crumbles. One thing stays the same through all the years. I still serve an amazing God. He's been with me every mile these weary feet have trod. He still cares. He still hears. He's still mending broken hearts and drying tears. This old world is bound to change, but I'm glad I know the one who always stays the same. And my song will ever be amazing God, you're still amazing me. The God who parted waters still makes a way today. He's always brought me through the troubled seas. The one who fed the thousands, whose words could calm the tempest. He's my bread of life, and he still sees. I still serve an amazing God. He's been with me every mile these weary feet have trod. He still cares. He still hears. He's still mending broken hearts and drying tears. This old world is bound to change, but I'm glad I know the one who always stays the same. And my song will ever be amazing God, you're still amazing me. I still serve an amazing God. He's been with me every mile these weary feet have trod. He still cares. He still hears. He's still mending broken hearts and drying tears. He's a world is bound to change, but I'm glad I know the one who always stays the same. And my song will ever be Amazing God, you're still amazing me. Amazing God, he's still amazing me.
Thanks, Holly. Heard that phrase before, haven't you? In the world, but not of the world. Sometimes confusing. What is that supposed to mean? How do we do that? We're going to look at that this morning. I found a story from a former policeman. He said some time ago he and his wife watched an episode of a comedy series on Netflix, and within a few minutes he became increasingly uncomfortable with the language and content of the humor. He said, as a cop, I've heard crude and vulgar humor before, and I'd been exposed to it nearly every day over a decade. But as we sat there watching this particular episode, we both had a growing sense that the show was somehow desensitizing our sensibilities. Isn't that what's happening today in society? We're being desensitized. Things that you would never have seen on TV and movies and whatever when I was a kid, or never heard phrases, and you're like, That's a common thing now. It's a common phrase. He said, we started to feel dirty. We turned off the laptop. Thought watching any further would only demonstrate our approval, and we wanted to stop before our worldview had permanently been altered. And sometimes when things happen like that, if we stay, even though we don't say something, we're basically approving of what's going on, unless we say or leave or do something in the situation. Depends on what it is. He says, I immediately thought about the all-too-familiar expression of, quote, as scripture, we're to be called to be in the world but not of the world. The notion is consistent with the teaching of the New Testament, even if it's not directly quoted. John 17, 14 through 16 says, I've given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, even as I'm not of the world. I do not ask you to take them out of the world, but to keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Doesn't that seem kind of interesting that he says, don't take them out of the world? Wouldn't you want to say, you know, get them out of there. Take them out of that place. Get them away from those influences. But it seems Jesus understood the tension between our experience as a Christian living in a hostile and ideological environment. And the authors encourage us to continue our relationship with the world around us, but to live carefully in a way that pleases God. So you're not supposed to go hide yourself away or never talk to somebody that you don't believe what they're saying or whatever, but you're supposed to be a witness wherever you are and whatever you're doing. 1 John 2:15, do not love the world nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So that means if we think things of the world are more important than God and we love them more, Russ kind of talked about that, you know, your car or your whatever it may be, it's more important to you that you love that thing more than God, that football team, whatever it is, that we're crazed on sports, aren't we? Football, basketball, baseball, soccer, whatever it is. Oh, it's my team. Oh, I wear the jersey. I go to the games. I scream. You know, whatever it is. And then a lot of times on Sunday mornings, where are those people? At sporting events, watching whatever it is. Maybe it's work. Maybe it's whatever that you decide to do. Not work that you can't get out of, but work you decide to do instead. So there's things that we may put ahead that are of the world that are above the Lord. So what does it mean to be in the world but not of it? How do we decide what shows to watch and which environments to avoid and what activities are out of bounds? So I'm going to examine some questions and look at the perspective of location versus information. So in the world is a point of location. So if we're in the world, that's a place where we are. So we're somewhere. Paul was right when he said that we would have to leave the world altogether if we truly wanted to separate ourselves from immoral and worldly people. But that's not what God wants us to do. He doesn't want us to get away from everything. The fact is, you might be in a location where your Christian worldview is being challenged, but it's not necessarily a bad thing. It may give you an opportunity to tell people why you believe what you believe and why you have that stand. And as they watch you take your stand, they say, that person really does believe that. Some people say things, and it's just words. And other people, their words are actually what they mean. So in some situations, we may be challenged. In fact, God may have placed you where you are so you can be a positive impact on those who don't know Christ. Or at least they can learn more about the culture that you're in, and maybe you'll have a little bit of an influence. I know I told you several years ago that when I taught school, I went into the situation and the guy before me, I don't know if I told you that part, but committed suicide. And so I went as a substitute teacher, took over the class. And since that was my major, we started doing activities right away. I got him out in the shop and we were making picture frames and bird feeders and all kinds of stuff. We were doing activities. And people came around and washed and whatever. But anyway, we had lunch in my office. And they called it the round table, because there was a round table in there. So all the guys came in and had lunch around the table. And they would sometimes tell jokes that I didn't care for. So instead of saying, oh, stop saying that, I just got up and walked out. And then I'd wait for a minute until I thought they were done. Then I went back in and sat back down. So then after a while, I kind of noticed some of those jokes kind of went by the wayside. They didn't say as many as they did before. Not that it totally stopped, but they just knew I didn't approve. I didn't appreciate it. And so I didn't really have to chastise them or reprimand them, but my witness was not going in there and not going there. So they knew I was a Christian, and that was one thing that I was put in that culture, I think, to be kind of an influence, to see what things are like, and be in that situation where I didn't have to try to point my finger at them, but I just would leave the situation. So there's sometimes we need to do those things. So if you're located in front of your laptop watching a movie, the issue of where you are is not the problem. It's not you watching the movie. The problem is the movie you're watching. Right? We have choices. You go into a theater and you pay for your ticket $11 or whatever it is nowadays, and if there's stuff in that movie you don't like, you have the option to walk out. Instead of sitting there and like, oh, they're saying F this and F that and whatever, and you're like, I don't have to watch this. I can not watch it. I can do something different. So the concern is simply how the repeated exposure to the worldview expressed in the show you're watching is having an impact on your worldview as a Christian. Is it starting to change the way you think? So if you're hearing things that you think or you know are wrong, and you keep listening to those, is that changing your idea of what you're thinking? And think, well, maybe that's not right. Maybe that's not true. Maybe you're having doubts. It isn't always the case for everybody. There are times, definitely, when you may have caught yourself repeating something objectionable. Ever happened to you? You're like, where'd that word come from? Where did that thing come from? Especially in work situations where you're in an environment where you're working outside or working with other guys doing whatever, it could be women in the office, whatever, and then something comes up and you say a phrase and you're like, "What? Why did I say that?" Because it's been repeated in your mind over and over again, right? We talked about that last time, right? Oscar Mayer Wiener song. It's been repeated so many times, you know? The Big Mac thing, 2 all-beef patties, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onions on a sesame seed bun. Why would I have that in my mind? Because I've probably heard it 20,000 times. If you don't put anything else in that place, then something's going to hold that slot, and you're going to keep thinking those things and those kind of thoughts. It's one thing to be in these environments. It's another thing to draw from them as a source of information or behavior. So you can have conversations with people about things. Whether you agree or not, you can still talk about them. It doesn't mean that has to be what you believe. You can just say, oh, you believe that? Well, this is what I believe. And then you have your discussion, and you don't always agree on everything. If you agree with everybody, I'd be surprised, right? Even in your own families, there's things you don't agree on. Some people like Ohio State. Some people like Michigan. Some people don't care, right? And that's okay. You can have those discussions and disagreements, but we need to talk about those things and have discussions. And why do you believe this? Why do you believe that? Why do you like this? Why do you like that? Give them something to think about. Maybe they never had any kind of scriptural basis at all in their beliefs. They were never raised in a Christian home. They don't even know anything about the Bible. They know nothing. And they want to know, why do you believe what you believe? Why do you have these convictions? Why don't you do this? Why do you do these kind of things? We need to be less concerned with our point of location than we are with our source of information and the influence it has on us. So just because you're in a certain place, if I went to a bar, would that mean I'm a horrible person? Why am I in there is the question. Maybe I went with a friend and I don't drink, but I went with them so I could talk with them. Would that be okay? You're like, I don't know. Should I answer that yes or no? Where does God want you to be? Who did Jesus go with? Did he go to church with all the people there? Or did he go with people who needed to hear about Christ? So it depends on why you're in that location and what you're doing there. If it's a strip club, yeah, I'm not going in. Right? I'm not going in there. I don't care what the situation is. I'm not going in that thing. If it's a lounge where they have drinks, I could go there and have lunch with a person and talk, can't I? So there's situations you need to think about where God wants you to be. Sometimes you find yourself in situations where non-Christian culture worldviews are strong and they're unfriendly to Christianity. Maybe you need to step away and recognize this isn't some place you should be. So make a logical, good choice of where you are. And like, oh, that's a good place. I think I'll just go in there. Maybe that's not the place you should be. Maybe there's places, some people have different temptations than others, don't they? You're like, yeah, I shouldn't be in this place because that's going to tempt me for this. Somebody else is like, yeah, that doesn't bother me. Well, then they're probably the person who should be there and not you. So we need to think about those kind of things. So we need to back off when we realize our point of location has become a source of information or negative influence in our life. So we as believers need to be in the world. It could be taken for granted that believers are in the world. I mean, we reside on the earth, don't we? We're in the world, basically. But being in the world implies more than inhabiting it. We actually need to be involved in our societies. Jesus told his disciples, go and make disciples, didn't he, of all nations. He told them to go everywhere. Tell everybody about who I am. They weren't supposed to set themselves apart and just talk to each other. Sometimes in church we do that, don't we? We just talk to each other. Oh, this is going on, that's going on. We don't talk to anybody else. We never get outside of our realm of friends. Never tell anybody else about God except ourselves. That doesn't really do a lot of good. It's encouraging, but it doesn't really fulfill the Great Commission. We're told to go out there. And he prayed for his disciples when he said, I don't ask you to take him out of the world, but keep him from the evil one. So the disciples needed to stay in the world, not be removed to heaven. They're supposed to be witnesses. They're supposed to be a light that shines in the darkness that points to God. And allowing that light requires people around us so they can see it, right? If you shine a light yourself, it doesn't really do a whole lot of good, does it? If you're lighting things up by yourself, if nobody can see the light that you're shining. There are certain sects in the so-called Christian faith, like the Amish, who set themselves apart from others. That's kind of hard to be evangelizing when you set yourself apart from others and say, we're going to be separated from you. 1 Peter 2:9 tells the Israelites, and I think us as well, you're a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of the darkness into the marvelous light. So does he say, just sit around and be quiet? No, he says, proclaim the excellencies of him. Tell the goodness of God, what God has done. You don't have to be standing on a soapbox at a street corner, but you can say things like, man, God really protected me, or God saved me from this, or God delivered me from this, or I've been praying about this friend, and my friend didn't have to have his leg cut off, right? Those kind of things. Some things that we can't explain. My child was sick, and I thought they were going to die, but they were healed, and the doctors can't tell me why. Those kind of things happen today. Those are things that he gives us to proclaim to other people and let them know what's going on. So we live in a world of darkness, but we're not supposed to be part of that darkness. We're not in the world because we are in Christ, we have a light. And he sets us apart, not to be away from them, but to be different in a good way. And we know that Satan's the ruler of this world, right? He controls a lot of the stuff that's going on. Doesn't control everything, but he's got people out there that are doing evil things. Just turn on the news for 10 minutes and you'll see a lot of it happening. Yep. Kill this, destroy that, do this, do that, whatever it's going to be. They're doing all kinds of things that shouldn't be happening. And he doesn't want us to proclaim ourselves as believers. He wants the world to be ruled by sin. He wants things to happen. He wants chaos. He wants people not to believe in him, to think that he's not going to listen to them. But we're being changed to the image of Christ. And as we're changing the image of Christ, people are going to be curious. Why are you different? How come you didn't respond that way? How can you have a peace when this is going on? So as believers, we're set apart. We're supposed to be holy, living a holy life, righteous, and we're supposed to be different. We're not supposed to be engaging in activities that promote ungodliness and help to corrupt our minds. But we're supposed to conform ourselves to the mind of Christ. Remember that big thing that was going around, the WWJD? Well, what would Jesus do? It was a big fad when I was a teenager. He had bracelets, and he had all kinds of stuff people wore, WWJD and all that stuff. It was to make you think about, in the situation, what would Jesus do in that situation if he were me? He was kind of a radical, wasn't he? He didn't really go with societal norms. He went against them, talking to the woman at the well and all kinds of things that he did to get the people that needed to hear about him. And sometimes that can be us. Not that you have to be some kind of nut, but you should be open to when God tells you to say something to that person or share with that person, whatever, then you can do that. We need to make every effort to live and act like he wants us to live, because he says we're going to be known by our fruits. If you love him, you'll have the fruit from him. Peace, joy, patience, kindness, goodness. This is Jessie Crook's big thing about the fruit of the Spirit. She says, not the fruits, it's the fruit. It's what's going to come off of you as a Christian. So being in the world also means we can enjoy the things of the world, such as beautiful things God has created, but we're not to immerse ourselves in the world values nor chase after worldly pleasures. Pleasure is not our calling, as it once was. Rather, the worship of God is to be our pleasure, to worship him, to do what he wants us to do. A lady named Kathy Howard writes this story, and I'm just going to read the story. It says, one summer my parents gave our kids a blow-up raft to use in the neighborhood swimming pool. First couple weeks, it was great. My three kids had great time paddling around the pool and giving rides to their friends. Then the raft developed a small hole. The little bit of water it allowed didn't really cause any great trouble, but soon other larger holes developed, requiring the kids to constantly scoop out the water just to keep it afloat. We threw away the raft because it no longer served its purpose. It was designed to float, not to sink. It was supposed to be in the water, but the water was not supposed to be in the boat. As Christians, we're to be in the world, but the world is not supposed to be in us. Kind of a cool illustration, isn't it? John 17:14 again says, I've given them your word, and the world will hate them, for they are not of this world any more than I am of the world. So it's like a boat in the water. The boat's designed to float in the water. It's supposed to be in the water, and the water surrounds it, but the water shouldn't be in the boat. So as you're floating around in society, you're supposed to be in society, but that's not supposed to be in you, what's happening. So our goals as followers of Christ are to actively engage in our culture with the gospel without allowing ungodly morals and values and attitudes to infiltrate our lives. Unfortunately, many sincere Christians struggle to get that right. Some people take their boats out of the water altogether. They want to be separated and apart from the world. They take their families away. There's no influence of any other people that aren't Christians or church, and they never have anything else. The big problem of doing that is you remove yourself from being an influence of Christ in the world, of taking your kids that are godly kids to play with other kids that may not be godly to see what it's like. Will they be influenced? Probably, but then you can explain, this is why we do this, this is why we don't do this. You can't just hunker down and say, we're not going to go out of the house. We're going to just stay here and nobody's going to affect us. Others launch their boats out in the culture, but fail because they don't adequately protect themselves from the influence. They just say, let's go out there and see what happens and do whatever. They end up taking on water, and some believers simply throw their hands up and surrender and just say, I can't live for the Lord. It's just too much, too hard, too boring. And the majority compromise little by little until they don't even know it's happening, and then they find themselves in the water. And they're like, how did I get here? How'd the boat sink? One little hole at a time, right? Little by little. So we need to live by God's standards. And it can be difficult, it can be brutal, it can be like paddling a boat upstream. Some days it may be more like trying to go over Niagara Falls in a barrel. People have done it. I mean, I don't know how in the world that in your mind can look right, to jump in a barrel and go over that falls, but they've done it. Some of the end results were okay, they survived, and other times they didn't survive. But you can imagine what that would be like trying to do that. So what do we do as Christians? First, we guard our hearts and our lives from the temptation. We say, where am I weak? Where am I tempted? And those are the areas I'm not going to go. Right? Just like an army would say. If this is an area that we're weak in, we're not going to go this area. We're going to go where we're strong in. Doesn't mean you won't be tempted, but it means you're not going to go to a place that's going to be hard. So you find somebody to be your accountability partner if you need that. And say, you ask me questions each week. How'd you do this week with such and such? I didn't do too good this week. Okay, well, I'll pray for you next week, because then you know, well, John's going to ask me next week, how did I do? And I've got to give him an answer. Do I want to lie to him? Or do I want to tell him the truth and say, maybe I shouldn't do that? Maybe this thing affects me and bothers me, so I'm going to try to stay away from those kind of things. Maybe I lose my temper too much and I scream all the time. And you say, yeah, John, I screamed like 5 times this week. I just really... And he's like, well, why don't you just get yourself out of the situation, walk away, count to 10, whatever it may be, but do something other than you've been doing the whole time, because doing the same thing doesn't work. You immerse yourself in God's Word. You look and see what God's Word says. What's the truth? How does He want you to be holy? What does He say? And then you get in your boat, you get in the water, and you paddle, because there's people out there drowning that need your help. You don't focus on yourself. You get out there and help others who need to get in the boat with you. So how do we get involved, and what can we do? Well, some people think Christians should not be involved in politics, but it can be a great place to be as a Christian, to be in that place of influence where you can influence some of the things that are being done and said in society. You can have love and compassion, and you can show people what it's actually like to take a stand for Christ. Maybe you can be a judge, and you have the power to influence people in a positive way, even though they may not like what you say. Maybe they need to have the punishment to get them where they belong. You saw that judge that was attacked by the guy who jumped over the bench, didn't you? He didn't like what she said, but he needed to be somewhere. You could tell by what happened. He needed help. He needed somebody to help. What if you were a Christian doctor and you're... I know we had some people that had a surgeon, I think it was Pat McAvoy, that prayed for them before they had their surgery. How would it feel if your doctor said that? Hey, can I pray for you today before surgery? Wouldn't that be more comforting for you? How about your mechanic that tells you the truth about your car? Instead of saying you need all these parts, if he just said, you know, this part's going to last you 2 more years, you don't need to replace it now, it's coming up, but this part does need to be changed today. Wouldn't that be nice if you know you had an honest person like that, a Christian that could give you their values? Our schools would change if we had teachers and counselors who were Christians and loved Christ. You could be a lawyer, grocery store worker, restaurant server, policeman, housewife, salesman. You need to remember that we are to be not of the world, which requires us to be freely of what the world influences us to do. We don't need to act like we're unsaved. We need to be slaves to Christ, not slaves to sin. We're to put to death things that are sinful in our nature, flee from immorality, train ourselves for godliness, be imitators of God, do nothing that's unfruitful, prepare ourselves for good works, in essence, act according to what the New Testament outlines. We're to be ambassadors for Christ. An ambassador is what? A representative, right? So they look at you, they say, oh, that's a representative of Christ. Not like, I don't want to be like them. We need to spread His fragrance throughout the world so we can be in the world as representatives of Christ and not of it. Be in the boat, but not have the water in the boat. How's that sound? Not always easy. Not always easy to do, but we need to be examples, don't we? Sometimes it's hard. Does it mean we're never going to mess up? I don't know about you, but I mess up. I mess up. I know you're shocked, but I do mess up. Ask Helen. She'll tell you. Ride with me in the car. And I'm like, what are you doing? Why would you do that? Why? Where's your blinker? And I find myself saying, I just got to stop. I got to stop that. It's not hurting them at all. It's driving me crazy. The way they drive, I need to just ignore it and let it go. But when you see dangerous things out there that people shouldn't be doing that drives you crazy and there's nothing you can really do about it, it's very frustrating. I keep praying all the time, can I be a policeman just for an hour? Hasn't happened yet. I mean, I'd be like ticketing. I'd have my book would be full. I'd be like, you got a ticket for that. You got a ticket for that. But isn't it good that God doesn't do that for us? Like, oh, you messed up there, you messed up there, you messed up there. He says, you know what? Just come to me, I'll help you. We'll make it right. And you say, sorry, I'm sorry. And he said, it's okay, I can deal with that. I can make you the person that you should be. Let's pray. Father, thanks for this day. Help us to be in the world, but not of it. Help us to be influencers. Help us to be world changers for you. Help us not to be scared to step out in different situations and places where Jesus would have gone. And help us, Lord, to speak the truth in love. In your name, amen.
Make me a servant, humble and meek. Lord, let me lift up those who are weak. And may the prayer of my heart always be, make me a servant, make me a servant. Make me a servant today.
Let's sing that one more time.
Make me a servant, humble and meek. Lord, let me lift up those who are weak. And may the prayer of my heart always be, make me a servant, make me a servant, make me a servant today.
Father, you are our Savior. We are your people. If anybody can make a difference in the world today, as Pastor said, it's us as believers. Help us to walk and talk the way that we should. Give us strength. We thank you for your grace, and go before us this week as we carry out what you've called us to do. In Jesus' name, amen.